Good morning, everyone. It is so true. What a mighty God we serve. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, thank you for this time that you have allowed us to gather. Father, I pray that all we do and say will be pleasing to your ears. Lord, again, watch care over us. Be with the pastor. Be with the choir this morning as we bring a song. Lord, that you truly may be glorified. Father, again, just be with each and every person today that has a part in this service. Father, we love you and we thank you for your son. We ask it all in his name. Amen. We didn't quite get through. It usually takes me about two or three times to get moving here. But last week, we talked about who are my mother and my brothers. And we got down to about question, I think we finished question seven. So question eight says, how can a Christian's physical family be a spiritual help or a spiritual hindrance? I'm sure that we've all been there. And family is tough. Even the Lord Jesus Christ himself ran into this. You know, his family, his brothers, they were tough. Anybody have any insight, anything that they want to share on question eight? It's definitely an uphill battle. I mean, you've got a load and you're trying to pull it uphill. And sometimes everybody is putting more on the sled. Sometimes I think they just want to, and don't take this wrong. I think non-believers sometimes want to see Christians fall on their face. The part that they don't understand, I fall every day. I don't need any more help. I mean, I'm my own worst enemy. So one of the things that I wrote down, it reminded me of a scripture verse, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's me right here. You're looking at him. You know, Paul says he's the biggest sinner. I don't know. I kind of hold my own at times. So, but family is tough. You know, it's, you know, and I'm sure your heart breaks, my heart breaks. If people would actually join us and see just how good the Lord is, it doesn't get any better than that. It's so important to find a local body of believers and to just, what did Jesus say? Come. What did everyone who's been around Jesus say? Come. Come and see. Come and taste. Come and see that the Lord is good. And that's the battle. You know, family sees you sometimes at your worst. Sometimes they see you at your best. But that's what family's about. I always refer to it as family dynamics. You know, every one of us who sits here has had a family. And still do. And, you know, you go through good times, you go through sad times. And it's really, I'm going down a rabbit hole again, Rose. You know, when we were in West Virginia, we had a gathering. You know, I'm 65 years old, but we still went to grandma's, her mother's. I called her grandma, but every Sunday for dinner. I mean, that was something that we looked forward to. I miss that now. You know, even though that we have Sunday dinner, Sunday lunch, brunch, whatever you want to call it. And now our grandchildren are coming, you know, and it's so funny to watch the 2- and the 3-year-old, when they get to grandma's house, right up on the stool. What's for eating, grandma? So family sees that, and that's good times. But the hard times is when you try to witness to a lost family member. And they just plain out tell you, you know, I don't want to hear it. You know, I'm not interested. And, you know, it just breaks your heart. You know, and that's so important because I think we as men, we as dads and grandpas, we want the best for our children. And sometimes we can be overbearing. The thing is, we can share the good news with our loved ones. We can live our lives in a way that glorifies God. But we can't save, not even ourselves. Only the Lord can do that. So that's the thing, the mindset that we as men and women of Christ, have to understand that we just, you know, there's a Bible verse that says, Paul planted, Apollos watered, and God will give the increase. So all you try to do is keep the soil tilled up, kind of fluffy, and plant a seed. And you never know who will come along and water that seed. But you can rest assured of one thing. God will give the increase. He truly will. It's so important to have a church family. It really is. Because there's people, trust me, that'll stand in line to give you advice. Well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You know? Well, what were you thinking? Now, wait a minute. I just went through a very traumatic time in my life. I don't need you hitting me over the head with a stone. I need to know that you're my friend and that you're going to give me godly counsel. And how do you get that? You read the Word of God and you pray. And you understand that there's none righteous, no, not one, except the Lord Himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's where you get your true, true foundational principles and truth is in the Word of God. It's so easy. And we as Christians, sometimes we will seek the counsel of other people, ungodly people, when all we need to do is one, pray, two, read the Word of God, three, come in fellowship. Because you never know at what time you've got a stone in your boot and it's hurting, that somebody else in this congregation may have walked through the same gravel pile and got that same type of stone in their foot and they're hurting also. And how you bring comfort to one another through just love. Love is the foundation of all things on which things are built. You know, the Lord loved us. God loved us so much that He gave everything He had so that we could be made righteous in His eyes through the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing we've ever done, nothing we'll ever be able to do except call upon the name of the Lord. Listen, it's tough. I too didn't have a Christian home. I didn't. But God was so merciful. I got to see my mom and my dad saved and baptized. That is a blessing. It's usually flipped to where mom and dad get to see you saved and baptized and live your life for the Lord. I got to see a change in my parents. Now, my grandmother was a praying woman, but she was from the hills and the valleys of backcountry West Virginia. And if you ever read about southern West Virginia, I don't know if I could have gone to church with her a couple times, you know, because they had rattlesnakes. But she feared the Lord, but she would also dabble in that. You know, I don't think she ever handled snakes, but she'd go to see who was sinning that week, if you know what I mean. You know, I watched my dad, who was a wonderful dad. I miss him every day. I loved him dearly. But when my dad was young, he was an alcoholic. Never missed a day's work, but he and his friends, they were coal miners, and they lived rough, and they talked rough, and they did rough things. To see how the Lord worked in my dad's life, it was amazing. I hope I can say this. You know, my dad watched me go to church, and I'm not perfect, but Sunday mornings, I'd get up, go to church. And I think, you know, he told me later on that that made a difference. You know, first, Mom went. Mom wanted to go to church, so Mom went, and we had a wonderful time. And, you know, she became more and more into the Word, confessed Jesus Christ as her Savior, was baptized. And Dad was like, well, what am I missing here? And I got to, and I, listen, it started out early for me. I was 6 years old, walking to church by myself. 6 years old. When you see these little children, praise God, because you do not know what the Lord has in store for them children. Children, I've learned this. Children are noisy, they're messy, and they're expensive. But listen, one of those little children gives their life to Jesus Christ. All of heaven is rejoicing. You know, but I got to see my mom follow the Lord, and Dad was like, I'm getting tired of sitting here on Sunday mornings by myself. You know, there's always so many flea markets you can go to, and so many. And we got to see Dad come to church. And what a day of rejoicing that truly was. I'll take it to my grave, you know. Now, was he always perfect? No. Am I? No. I stub my toe daily, and it hurts sometimes. But I can't even imagine the hurt that I bring upon the Holy Spirit when I do stub my toe, you know. But God is so loving, and family is so important. And it's hard because, like I said, sometimes they see you at your worst. They see you when you're hurting. But listen, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is real. He's real. Don't you ever give up clinging to him, because you never know who's watching. You know, that family member that may be on the fence, you know. Don't ever give up. Continue to pray. You know, some of us may go on to the grave, but our prayer may come full circle. And that person that we keep close in our prayer life may come to the Lord. I can't guarantee it, you know. It's above my pay grade. But listen, it's important how we live our life. And it's important to have a church family to where you can come and share things. Because we're all family. Not only are we church family, spiritual family, but we have a physical family too. And it's so important to come and to share things one with another. It's what God has given us. He's given us family. He's given us our family, and he's given us our church family. Anything else on number 8? This is good. This is good discussion. Number 9 says, what are some practical evidences of being part of Jesus' true family? I think conviction. I've had people come to me and say, How do I know? My first answer is this. And they have already confessed of being Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. But yet they're unsure. And I'd always tell them, listen, you standing here asking me that question, that's called conviction. So the Lord's working in your life through the Holy Spirit of God. That's conviction. How do I know? When you sin and know that you've sinned, I'm going to start preaching here in a minute. When you do things that you know is not right, and the Holy Spirit tells you it's not right. Now, I'm talking about people who have confessed Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. He stands at the door and knocks, the book of Revelation tells us. And all you have to do is open that door. So that's the first step. He does everything else. He does the hard, heavy lifting. But that conviction, when you sin, you know it. At least I do. And I don't consider myself any better than any other born-again believer. But I know, shouldn't have said that. We were coming to church this morning, and I said something that I shouldn't have said. I don't even know. It was construction. It was on that northern road here. I don't know. And I made some off the... And it wasn't bad, but it was sarcastic. I knew when I said it. Next thing I hear, Rose, look out, you're going to hit the curb. Now, I'm not into karma. I'm not into anything like that. But it was like the Holy Spirit went, hey, you knew it. I know it. She heard it. Now get on to church. So that's what I would tell people. You being convicted of sin, of even questioning, you're never going to be good enough by yourself. Never. It's only through the work of Jesus Christ that you're going to make it. And it goes on just like you said. But you just show me that you're sitting there on your blessed assurance and not doing things to glorify God. Come on. It's not the way it works. You know, yes, first and foremost, you're saved by faith. Through grace. That's the only way. But once you're there, you begin to feel almost a debt. How will I ever repay this? Jesus says, follow my commandments. That's all you have to do. What's he say about coming to church on Sunday? Come. Come. Fellowship with one another. He'll do the heavy lifting. If you remain faithful through prayer, Lord, I don't know what to do. Help me. Help me. I will give you this little bit of advice. Pull that seatbelt. See, I'm from, you can tell my age. I don't have the lap belt. I'm still pulling the seatbelt, the lap belt. But you better pull that. Because if you ask that prayer and are sincere in asking that prayer, Lord, help me. Help me. I don't know. He will move. And you better be ready and have that seatbelt tight. Because he will turn your world upside down. But the first step is accepting Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, the Son of God, as your personal Savior. That's where it begins. Conviction, fruit inspection. People ask me, well, what? Listen, that's above my pay grade. But I'll tell you this. The Lord did make us all fruit inspectors. Because if you've ever gone to the grocery store and watched people go through the up here at Albertsons, they've got those big tables that's got fruit all over them. Well, I've learned, and they do a good job, don't get me wrong, but occasionally you can grab a soft orange or a kind of a overripe banana. You got to pay attention. Same thing in our spiritual walk. God has given us all the ability to be fruit inspectors. He really has. Not to be judgmental, but you can almost tell, really, when a person comes to you and begins to witness to you where they are in their life. Sometimes you look at something that looks pleasing to the eyes, but it's really not. It's not. So I think, you know, about being able to, somebody may come on to you and you think, man, this is good stuff. This is, well, it turns out that it's not good stuff. So that's where you have to be careful. And when I say fruit inspector, I'm talking about read your Bible. Pray. You'll know how a person acts outwardly by their inward expression. And that's where you have to be on guard. You just have to listen, you know. And there's nothing wrong with a Christian listening. Sometimes brothers and sisters just need to talk. And that's where the family aspect comes in. Some of you may or may not know I was a pastor back in West Virginia. So I think those words of fruit inspector kind of comes to a pastor. It's, Pastor, am I saved? Well, I don't know. Tell me what you're doing in your life. Answer me one question. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That's all I can do. But I can look at a person and see how they react, how they act, how they talk. You know, somebody comes to church but walks out the door and tells this joke that I wouldn't tell to my coworkers. You know what I mean? This is where fruit inspection, when I'm talking about fruit inspection, just be careful. Be careful, and don't let your heart fall into a trap. Don't let it fall into a hole, because what happened in the garden? Satan, the great deceiver, from the beginning, deceived Adam and Eve, the very first. Think about that. So the power of deception is very, very hard to understand. To just be careful. Just be careful. A habit is something that you get into, that you become daily aware of or weekly aware of, to such a point that when you miss it or when you don't do it, you miss it. That's the way the reading of God's Word should be. You want to understand, you want to grow, pray, and read your Bible. One more thing on this fruit. The grandkids love these cuties, these little...
Oh, yeah.
They're simple. I mean, I can peel them, just there you go. You know, where you take an orange and you have to... But anyway, we had 6 or 7 yesterday. They looked fine. The 2-year-old, he wanted a cutie. And it looked fine. And I picked it up and pulled it across. Inside was mold. I just picked them up and dumped them in the garbage. So be on watch. Just like Sister said, how do you make this? You read your Word. God will show you. Don't be judgmental. Don't ever turn your back on a sinner. Hate the sin, but love the sinner, because you never know what you can say or do that may turn that person, to help them turn, you know, just by being there. So always be alert. Well, I know one thing. He didn't want me making that comment coming down Northern Boulevard this morning. I can tell you that much, because, look out, you know. Absolutely, you know, the Holy Spirit, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Spirit lives in your heart. He's now a part of you, and He will convict you. He will. I promise to get through this one, and we're going to be all caught up, and next week we'll go to the next one. Anything else on question 9? 10 says, have you enjoyed the benefits of being part of Jesus' family? Whew. Sounds like a true Baptist back there. But just being able to come and to share God's Word and to talk about daily problems, what a blessing it is for an old hillbilly to be able to stand before you. And already, I love you all. And to share God's Word and to know that you pray for me, because I know I pray for you all. Just to be part of that. How much better does it get by being a follower of Jesus Christ? And, here's for an eternity. Not just for Sunday morning. For an eternity, those who believe. You know, and that takes us right into 11. You know, what are some challenges and difficulties of living in the world as the family of Jesus? AI, that's a good point. Because this artificial intelligence thing that you're reading and hearing about, folks, this is dangerous times. That's why the Word of God, you've got to get in it. Because they're going to manipulate this, just like Sister said. I'm talking about Satan, a little truth with a little lie. You've got to be able to hold people's feet to the fire. And that only comes one way, and that's through the Word of God. They have the platform. They have the power through the internet. Here's the power. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It doesn't get any better. I'm going to hurry on through these 12. What I wrote down was love and forgiveness. 13. I can't say this enough. Prayer and Bible study. Folks, it has to be a part of your life. every day. It's got to be a part. My prayer would be that you stay in the Word for hours. But even if you go to morning prayer and to read a daily devotional, sometime during that day, God's Word does not go out void. Read this Word, because I'm telling you, the deceiver is making his play. You're hearing more and more about spacecrafts and zombies and apocalypse. Yeah, we know how it ends. We know that when God is full and he sends his son to call home his church, that's the beginning of the end for those who are left here. Don't be one of those people. Read, study, know what's coming, know how to answer. Let us pray. Father, again, thank you for this time, this discussion. Lord, be with us all as we go out of here this week, Lord, into a world that is full of snares and traps. Father, just guide us and direct us, and Lord, allow us to live our lives in a way that brings honor and glory unto you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.